Like, for me, the five keys to, like, overcome depression were, one, seeing new things. Two, changing the environment. Because, like, I was at home, like, seeing the same things every day, seeing the same people. Mm-hmm. Change the environment. Three, I did therapy. Four, I had a lot of sex. Had a lot of sex in Europe. Okay. Oh, yeah. Thank God.
Nothing wrong with that.
And five, I stopped looking at other people's Instagram.
Hey guys, JB here. Time for another episode in the Wolf's Den. It's going to be a great one today. Got an interesting young guy here. He's got a guy who travels almost as much as me, it seems like. He's been around pretty much every country in the world. How many countries are you up to?
83.
Raim Santos, right?
That's me.
All right, buddy, how are you?
Thanks for having me here.
So, Raim, you're from Brazil.
Rio de Janeiro.
Right? And tell me, what's the most interesting thing about you?
The most interesting thing about
people, why do people want to, like, you have a lot of people that follow you on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Why do people follow you? What makes you interesting?
Well, what makes me interesting is that the fact that I live in a different country.
You're a good looking dude.
Thanks, man.
Bet you're a stud with the ladies, right? I bet.
Why I live in Russia right
there
now.
There you go. That's not right. Let me just tell you, before you answer my question, I was in Russia. Fucking girls there, man. I was engaged to a Russian girl for a few years. But the thing with Russian girls is they dress up. In the subway, they're dressed up in high heels. Unbelievable.
Competition's way too high.
Damn Ruskies, man, I'll tell you. Anyway, so tell me.
So basically, I travel the world. I retired at 28 years old.
You retired 28?
Yeah. But like my life story, I've been an illegal immigrant. I've been a football player. I've been on Wall Street.
How much money did you have to retire at 28?
So here's the deal. In Brazil, we have interest rates around 8% a year, 10% a year.
Okay.
So like I'm a minimalist. I live off a suitcase, like a Rimowa carry-on suitcase.
Good.
That's all I have.
My favorite suitcase, Rimowa.
Oh, you have a Rimowa too?
Yeah, of course.
Hell yeah.
Good stuff. I had a Rimowa that was like indestructible. Oh, my, finally broke it after many years. But it's a great.
Yeah,
no, it's awesome.
So let's say about $5 million, 10% a year. That's more than enough to survive.
For you. Tell me, okay. But I respect you, by for doing that. No, seriously. Because life is not about how much you make, it's if you're happy, right?
No, yeah, I'm totally like I tried suicide twice.
Really?
The last time, 2018, so it was like less than a year and a half ago.
Suicide. What did you
I was depression, like heavy depression.
Did you think about it? You literally went through with it.
I went to the top of the building and like, yeah.
Did you jump?
No. But like, I was like, at the last minute, I was like, took it back.
Whoa.
I don't want to talk about it that much, but like.
Let me ask you real quick. Where did this happen? What country?
In Brazil. So
how
like.
How high was the building?
32 story high in Ipanema. As like every millennial, you have very high expectations, and like when things don't go right, you get down on yourself. So like I was in depression for like about a year and a half, 2 years, and then I was like, you know what? I want to get out of this. And what I did, I started traveling. Basically, I took the money I had. I had some money. Took the money I have, and I started. Like for me, the five keys to like overcome depression were, one, seeing new things. Two, changing the environment. Because like I was at home, like seeing the same things every day, seeing the same people. Mm-hmm. Change the environment. Three, I did therapy. Four, I had a lot of sex. Had a lot of sex in Europe. Okay. Hell yeah, thank God.
Nothing wrong with that.
And five, I stopped looking at other people's Instagram. So like you always think the neighbor's grass is greener, is always on the other side. And I started creating so much content in my trips. Like exchanging that much information about the countries, about geopolitics, about how people lived and their cultures, that like I didn't have enough time to see other people's Instagram because a lot of people were sending me messages and interacting with me.
So I want to handle this one thing at a time. There's a lot you said. So one interesting thing that you said here, and then we'll go backwards, is that when you post on Instagram, you're not just doing that whole happy. You're posting things that are intellectual based or that have, you know, learning based. What do you post?
Basically,
because you mentioned that culture.
Right. I have I have 3 degrees from Ivy League school. One of them is international relations.
Okay.
So I read a lot about countries and cultures. And why this one country is rich, why there was this one country poor, why the girls are good in sex in Russia and why they're not in Mexico and stuff like that. So I like to compare countries and cultures, especially how young people live in those countries.
So you think the Russians are good in sex, the girls?
Oh, yeah.
I think they're fucking hot. I mean, I you know, see, not all of them, probably.
And it has to do with World War II.
Really?
World War II. Russia won the war, right? However, it was the country...
20 million people.
Exactly.
Though, yeah.
It was the country that lost the most people.
Oh, I know that.
And there were men. So the grandmas of the girls today, they grew up without a man. So for years during the Soviet Union, it was like a trophy to have a man at home.
Mm.
So the grandmas taught the mothers that, like, wow, you need to do everything for a man. And the mothers taught their daughters that, like, a man is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So when they see, and there's extra one. Russian men has, like, very low life expectancy nowadays because of vodka and, like, yeah, they drink, like, homemade vodka and stuff. They're drunk, they fight. So, like, the life expectancy is low. And when you see a good-looking guy with money who speaks Russian in Moscow, they're going to do their best behind four walls.
Right. Well, I mean, I look at, I know, listen, I was engaged to the first Miss Soviet Union.
Oh, wow.
The first and last. Name is Yulia Sukhanova, a beautiful girl. So she won the contest in 1988 or 9. Think about Russian. I know the basic stuff, right? But, you know, I try to forget it. It's actually a beautiful language. And I love Russian people. She was a great girl, but she was, you know, she didn't particularly love the United States that much. Anyway, here's the thing, right? The thing with the Russian girls, the why they're hot, is because they've basically been raped by so many cults, like the Tatars. Everyone came through and raped the women and men. There's all this crossbreeding in the 1400s, right? So they got incredible diversity of genes there, right? So you have Nordic mixed with Tatar. You say you could scratch every Russian girl and find some Tatar, right? Yeah.
Turkish, yeah.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, true.
So, yeah, so they're a good-looking group. Why is the guys aren't that good-looking, though? So here's the thing. The Russian women are gorgeous, and the Russian men are not even
they're
really
not,
good.
Yeah, true. And that's why I live there.
There's some shit going on with that Y chromosome that's fucking things up.
That's why I live there.
Yeah.
No, I mean.
Just hold that for a moment here while we pay the bills with our sponsors. And here we go. All right, guys, ready for this? Skillshare. Let me put it to you this way, right? I'll just tell you exactly what it is, and then I'll tell you why you need to at least try it. I'll tell you one word. It's called free. F-R-E-E. They give it to you for free. You get 60 days for free. You know what they say? Why look a gift horse in the mouth? Okay, well, what is it? Let's talk about why you'd want to even do it. Because here's the deal. What Skillshare is, it's an online learning community, a portal that gives you access to all these amazing trainings and lessons and tutorials for things about entrepreneurship, stuff on real estate there, just general success, and also just other things as well, just massive information, everything you'd want to know. And of course, you know, I have my straight line, which is separate. I would never put that out there myself because I have my own stuff. But as Skillshare goes, I got to tell you, they're not my competitor, but I just really recommend it. And I know learning platforms, you get it? I have my own stuff I do. It's very specific, right? I know you guys all love it, right? But this is different. This is something that's complementary to what I do. And I really suggest you check it out. You know why? Number one, it's awesome. Number two, it's free. And number three, knowledge is the real estate of the 21st century. You get it? And for that matter, the 20th century. Knowledge is everything, guys. You know, we live in a world where it's what you know as much as who you know. It used to be who you know, right? Now it's what you know. If you're not up on the latest skills that are out there, the latest techniques, you're going to be left in the dust. You'll be embarrassed. You'll be broke, living under a bridge. I'm telling you, it's what you know. The skills that you possess that allow you to give value to other people, to grow yourself as a human being, to grow your business, to become successful within an organization. Now, if I said to you, I want you to try this and write them a check for $1,000, you'd say, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe. But what if I say it's free like I am now? Why wouldn't you do it? I don't, you know, I really don't understand. When I give a free trial, I do sometimes, right? Not often. When I do, everyone signs up. I get that, right? It's free. But why wouldn't you sign up for a free trial? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, even if you're one of those lazy people who doesn't use it, all right, well, then you don't use it, that's that. It was still free. You have no downside, and you have unlimited upside. There's no downside because you're not putting any money out. The only thing you're doing is you're putting your time into it. And if you're not willing to do that, then shame on you. Then don't do it. But if you want to live a more empowered life, if you want to grow yourself, if you want to become more effective at whatever you do, then take it from someone who knows about learning products. I have my own stuff. I have the Straight Line on my own platform. I wouldn't recommend this, a complimentary platform, unless I knew it was great. There's millions of users on Skillshare. Millions, not thousands. Millions of users, and they're all not stupid. You get it? You don't grow to be that large by being wrong. You don't grow that large by having crappy products. You don't grow that large by giving crappy customer service. You get that big by having awesome products, by giving great customer service, and also by letting people have a chance to see how awesome your product is. And then after they know for sure, yeah, then fair exchange of money for knowledge. That's why I love Skillshare. All right, so here's the website. I don't want to get this wrong. I always make the mistakes of this stuff, so I'm going to read it to you, right? It's skillshare.com/wolf. Again, go to skillshare.com/wolf. You're getting your 2 months free right now. If you don't do this, you just really got to ask yourself why. I mean, you probably have bigger problems than me in your life. Seriously, okay? That's skillshare.com/wolf, all right? You need to learn the things that matter in your life to make you more successful. That's my advice to you, and I think I'm pretty knowledgeable in this arena, okay? Skillshare.com/wolf, boom, 2 months free. You can't go wrong. All right, guys, listen. I got to make you laugh a little bit here, but we're talking about manscaping, right? Company Manscaped, listen, they make all the grooming products for men. Let me just tell you a story. I mean, I admit, you know, I slept around. I have, right? But there was one time in college, and I don't want to mention the girl's name, DK or her initials, right? You know who you are. She gave me crabs. I swear to God, I know it was you, okay? She gave me crabs. And I was really pissed, and I wasn't the only guy she was sleeping with, so maybe I should have known better, right? But I gotta tell you that I tried to use the Quell shampoo, everything, at the end, I mean, everything to get these little buggers out, right? They just drive you itch and drive you crazy. They sting, right? At the end, I had to literally shave off all my hair down there. It was just a disaster. And back then, they didn't have products to do it. Now, admittedly, they've come up with some products over the years. It's come more fashionable now to, you know, make sure you don't have the freaking enchanted forest down there, right? When a girl goes down there, you don't want to, you know, how can I say, you know, hair in the teeth ain't a pretty look, okay? But bottom line is that this company, Manscaped, has the coolest products that allow you to kind of do all the trimming, not just down there, but anywhere on your arms, mustache. It's just so cool. The products are so awesome, all right? You got to check it out because I'm telling you this, you're going to come to a point in your life, and as you get older, the hair keeps growing in places where it shouldn't and stops growing in places where it should. I'm lucky. I got hair up here, but again, hair's coming on your ears, out of your ears, you know, on your, there's hairs on your balls, on top of your balls, on top of your head. It's like it's just a bush down there. I don't like that shit, all right? And no one does it. Any girl that tells you that she likes lots of hair, she's lying to you. No one likes the enchanted forest down there. Either way, men or women, right? It's kind of weird, okay? And God knows what's living down there. Manscaped has solved this problem. You get it? It's just designed to resolve the issue of how do you go down there? Look, they have all this Manscaped cleansers. They have the razors, the trimmer. And the coolest one, by the time I'm in the house, is the trimmer. I got to bring it for the next time I do this, right? It's a trimmer that's like, it's perfectly shaped, ergonomically designed to shave your ball and penis, okay? Or as I say in something about Mary, the Franks and beans, right? The Franks and beans. You can get rid of all the hair on the Franks and beans and you're golden. You become like a more desirable guy. Serious about that, right? I'm telling you, mark my words, that if you don't think, if you are sitting there with like, literally like, you know, the Amazonian rainforest, okay, on your balls and on your, you know, the whole area there, you're growing, right? The women are talking about you behind your back. No one likes that stuff, all right? Time to take action here, okay? Here's the deal, ready? I got a great offer for you. It's unbelievable. One second here, okay, ready? 20% off. free shipping just by entering the code WOLF. Go to manscaped.com, enter the code WOLF, 20% discount. You got to check these products. I'm telling you, this is no joke, guys. No joke here, right? 20% off and free shipping. All right? So go to manscaped.com. They got like, and the names, by the way, are the best. They got the crop preserver, the mower. It's like really, really cool. But I like the fact, you know what? I believe that a company that like just focuses on men's needs like that, they deserve to be rewarded. This is safe. It's the best. You got to check it out. Manscaped.com. Enter your code WOLF. 20% discount. Free shipping. Boom. So that was, okay, so I guess what interests me, a lot of things that you said interest me. First thing was that A, you made a statement that I think most people agree with, that looking at everyone's artificially pumped up happiness on Instagram can be very toxic to someone's emotional state.
Yes.
Right? Because you think that, you know, the grass is greener. That's a pretty basic way of saying what I think a lot of people feel inside, right? So when you post stuff, you don't post the whole smiling, everything's perfect. You actually post, you know, educational-based content about how the culture is, what the politics are, things that might interest people, and they can grow from it. Is that what you try to do?
Yes, but there's a catch, right?
With hot chicks in the background, no.
Yes. So here's the deal. I tried for years. I left Wall Street in 2013. Like, we go back to my bio, but, like, I left Wall Street in 2013. And 14, 15, 16... That I was like trying to catch people, followers, and like people, readers, through good content, through business content, through geopolitics, mm-hmm. cultural content.
Sure.
Last year, I started adding the girl element and the money element,
mm-hmm.
and like doing like publicity stunt. For example, last week I was in Pamplona running with the Bulls.
Right.
So this way, if I post a print screen of my bank account, people share with each other.
Yeah.
If I post a picture with a very hot Russian girl, people will share it with each other because, right. wow, I want to have the life this black guy has.
Right.
He has a weird name. He has a like, my last name, Santos, is like Smith in Brazil. So, I have a weird name. I have a poor last name. And I'm black in Brazil. Like, black people are poor people. And they're like, wow, he's like me. So, like, they share, like, I want to be like that guy.
Are most of your followers from Brazil?
Yeah. Oh. But like, and I touch where those people, they want to make money. Mm-hmm. They want to travel the world.
Sure.
And they want to fuck girls.
Got it.
And that's those are the three things I show. And
those are neither of those things are bad.
No, right. But like,
we should all aspire.
Think of fishing.
Things.
I was, before, with good content about countries and culture and politics, I was fishing with a rod. Now, with girls, money, and traveling, I fish with a net, and then I bring them to the good content.
Do you think Brazilian girls have the best asses?
Yes.
They do. Why is that?
Because they work out.
That is there nothing genetic? They have these bubble butts, right?
Yes. All right. There's another genetic element because, well, you have African plus the native Latin American plus Spain plus Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good blood mix. However, if you go to a gym in America, it's a lot of dudes trying to get big, and the women are doing cardio.
They're squatting in Brazil.
In Brazil, they're squatting, they're doing leg presses. And like, you go to the leg press machine in Brazil, and there's like four women waiting in line. Like,
really?
I swear to you.
Do you like girls with big asses?
I prefer the Russian type.
Me too, the more slender. Yeah.
I do, yeah.
All right, just hold that thought for one moment. It's a good one. Like, let me pay the bills here with one of our sponsors, one of my favorites, actually. All right, guys, so this is an oldie, but one of my favorites, of course. Listen, Oracle, multi-billion-dollar company, one of the most well-respected premier software writers in the world, right? Larry Ellison, one of the richest guys, one of the coolest guys, too. You know, one thing about Larry Ellison and Oracle is the products they make are based on functionality, meaning they're designed to make your life easier. It's like the ultimate in user-friendliness. And one of the things I will tell you, there's a specific product I want to talk about right now. You may have heard me mention it before, okay? It's Oracle NetSuite. And what this is for, really, It's for the small, medium-sized business owner, right? And what it does, it's a one-stop, fully integrated solution that allows you to manage all the different financial aspects of your company in one program that's designed to perfectly speak to each different aspect of it. In other words, the biggest problem I see, and guys, I'm sure you're facing this right now. If you run a business, you have all these different plugins and this and that, and while you can get by with them, they don't work seamlessly. It's very difficult to pull down all the numbers into one cohesive picture you can make decisions on. And I got to tell you this, if you're not on top of your numbers, then your numbers are on top of you, bottom line. And also to that end, you know, you ever hear the old thing, what's not measured and what's not tracked is not improved? Never a truer statement said about business. You have to track your numbers. You have to know what things cost you, what your payables are, receivables, your margins. You have to be track of everything. And that's exactly what this product does. So basically, this is fully integrated software for managing all aspects of your business. And it's in the cloud, so it's affordable. It works like lightning fast. And listen, you can tie together your inventory, your sales, your operations, your, you know, your payables, receivables. I mean, this is just crucial stuff. And here's the deal. Again, Larry Ellison, Oracle, you know you're getting the best of the absolute best. I challenge you, okay, to try to find an integrated software package, literally, that even comes close to this one. All right, Oracle NetSuite, let me tell you exactly what you got here. A couple of major benefits. Number one, right now, they're giving you a free guide here. It's the 7 key strategies to grow your profits. Get a free guide here, okay, by going to netsuite.com/wolf. All right, that's netsuite.com/wolf. You download your free guide here, all right? Again, guys, you gotta check this out. Just go to the site. Download the free guide. Check out the pricing and the features and benefits that this program has. I'm telling you, you're probably paying, my guess, with all the integrations you have right now, not only are you paying a hefty amount more, but it doesn't work at nearly even close to the level of efficiency this does. All right? Again, that's netsuite.com/wolf. You got to check it out. Here we are. Ready? Vincero watches. Now, you've heard me talk about this before. I'm purposely not wearing one. I want to show you the difference. This is a Hublot here, right? Great watch, super expensive. Watch like this is like $15,000, $20,000, up to $30,000, right? I want you to check this out here. This is a Vincero. First of all, look how this thing is wrapped, all right? You can tell like just the user experience. When you open this thing up, it reeks of wealth. And that's important when you buy something like this because you can see that great care was taken. Look at that. That is awesome stuff. You take this thing out. It's like almost like getting like an Apple product. They really take care in how they present it. Check this out, all right? This is a watch that is quality on top of quality. No shit, all right? And let me just tell you the bottom line. You know what a really good men's watch is? I've had all of them over the years. I probably lost more watches than you've ever probably owned in 5 of your lifetimes. I'm terrible with that stuff, right? I probably lost 50 $10,000 plus watches, I swear, I shit you not, right? Anyway, this watch, I am telling you, it reeks of wealth. It feels, and by the way, you know, a watch feels a certain way. It feels, it looks, okay, it's gotta be, see, it fits me perfect, boom, like that, all right? That, if I walked around with this, now obviously because people know I have money, right? And I have a reputation for sort of, you know, high-end consumer goods, people would say, what, $15,000, $20,000? That's what a good watch costs. In the olden days, the reason why was because they kept better time. But all that changed back in the 60s and 70s when they invented, you know, the, like, I think it was first Seiko way back in the day, came out with this, like, little thing where they, you know, it's a quartz watch with a that keeps time perfectly. And before that, like, a regular watch would just not keep time well. This thing keeps time so well. It's like Albert Einstein could use this to figure out the theory of relativity, this watch. That's how closely this thing keeps time. I shit you not, all right? But look how beautiful it is. You know what? They say that a suit makes you feel like a better man. So does a watch. You understand that we don't need watches anymore. We have phones, right? Everybody has a phone. But why does everyone still wear watches? Because they're awesome. Awesome. Great watch. Makes you feel good. Also, something about being able to turn and know the time. And it's just beautiful. I mean, I really, honestly. Now, question, what do you think this watch cost? And be honest here, all right? $10,000, $5,000, if you don't know, about, listen, good watches are, even the cheap ones are $10,000, $15,000. This watch, it's like $500. It's astounding. I was so shocked when I saw this watch for the first time. They have a whole bunch of them. They have stainless steel. They have, you know, leather. They have rubber bands. I mean, they have every different type of face. I was so shocked. I thought it was a joke. That there's no way these watches are like $299 or $189, $400,000. They vary in price, but they're all a few hundred bucks. I'm serious. It's not rational that this watch is so, I wouldn't say cheap, but inexpensive or underpriced is the right word. You have to own one of these. By the way, I promise you this. You buy one of these watches, you're going to want to own five. One for every occasion. But start off, all I'm asking you is try one. So it's VinceroWatches.com. I always forget the watches part. But seriously, this is something that you don't want to pass up. You look at this watch. I'm just telling you. I'll tell you once, and you'll see for yourself. It reeks of wealth. It reeks of success. When people see you with this watch on, they will covet this watch. Not that that's important, but you know what? It kind of is pretty cool that you, when you wear a great watch, people just look at you. Again, VinceroWatches.com. I'm getting you a 15% discount by entering the code WOLF. You're getting free shipping. They have so many different watches, but all I'm asking for is this. Just try one. Try one watch. It's a couple hundred bucks, which, by the way, is missing a zero or two. It should be at least a couple thousand or 20,000. I'm telling you, if you would see this watch on me, and I told you it was 20,000, I'd say, oh, wow, it's so beautiful. It has the weight of an expensive watch, the look and feel, it's wrapped like an expensive watch. I don't get it, how these people make money, but I guess they do. But they make the most awesome watches out there at this price point. There's no close second. All right, VinceroWatches.com, 15% off, free shipping. Check it out now.
And like, as I was saying,
we're shallow bastards, aren't we? I think all men are kind of shallow on some level. You know, some pretend not to, but we're all still shallow.
But I like intellectual ones.
Right. Yeah, no, listen, I'm very fortunate. I got the best of all worlds. No, listen, here's the thing. Ready? I have my type, obviously. You have your type, right? But I would never be with a stupid woman, right? There's no fun in that. That's the point. You could sleep with one, right? You could bang them. That's okay. I'm always intrigued, though, about the Brazilian ass, though. I mean, is there also like a lot of implants going into these asses?
No.
No.
No. It's natural.
I was told
it was gyms.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you don't hear about butt implants in Brazil. They're more popular in America.
Okay.
The implants, they're popular in Brazil, are the breast implants. And it's like usually if you're a girl and like you make good money is like more than $3,000 a month in Brazil, right? Because like our exchange rate is fucking up. So like,
what's your currency down there? It's the real.
It's called the real, and it's 4 to 1. Yeah. So when I'm in California right now, I have to multiply everything by 4.
Yeah. What's the biggest? What's the within reason, right?
Right.
What's the nicest, biggest Brazilian ass you've ever seen? That's not gross. Like, is there a certain sweet spot for the ass? Because I always seem like you're an ass man, but I know you like this. But I'm just interested in this. Like, there's a certain point when it gets gross. Right? But like, what's the, is like, they have the perfect Brazilian ass or something? Is there something like that exists? Like, everyone aspires to or no?
Yeah, the production crew, please look for Mulher Melancia, Watermelon Woman.
Let's get her up on
Watermelon Woman.
I want to see Watermelon Woman.
Yeah, and like, she dances a song called Creo, like Creo.
I believe.
Like, oh. Yeah, that's her.
Let's see I don't like that. Okay.
No, too big, right?
Oh, the legs. I mean, Jesus Christ. The girl can get you in a leg lock and just squash you like a watermelon.
They call her Watermelon Woman because her butt looks like a watermelon.
Let me see this.
So put on YouTube, C-R-E-U, C-R-E-U, there you go. No, E-U, U, space, M-E-L-A-N-C-I-A. That's like watermelon Portuguese.
Let's see. Where is she?
YouTube. That one.
So that's it, huh?
Yeah, and she dances like kind of like a sexual twerk. Let's see.
Oh, really?
Do the twerk there.
That could like register on the Richter scale when she does that. There she goes.
Yeah.
Make it a full screen thing so we can all see her. Give us the benefit here.
Yeah, but they're not showing the back.
Let's see that. Come on. She'll do the turn. She'll do the turn in a second. Let's see it. Here she goes.
Please turn.
Let's go. Oh, come on. Who gives a shit about that stuff? Turn.
Ah, come on.
Let's see. Wait. Yeah, oh, wait. Hey.
She won't turn.
We're getting there. Oh, well, that was ridiculous.
Maybe
tips for giving a blowjob. That way.
Yeah, oh, come on. MC Krell. Try to search MC Krell on YouTube. Yeah, MC Krell. MC. No, C-R-E-U.
What? Why do you think?
There we go.
Crowd. That the first one is good. The very first one.
Tsunami 2. Yeah, that could be it.
Say it.
The girl's not with him in the stage. Oh, there she is.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there she is. The watermelon woman.
So people like that?
Yeah, that's a standard of beauty in Brazil.
I don't get it.
I swear. Big, like...
If you try to bang her from behind, she'll snip it off with a fucking... She'll just pop that shit right off. Right?
Oh my God.
If she sat on your face, you would be like, that was it. You'd have to be taken away in a fucking ambulance.
Oh. Yeah, that's not really my type, but.
No, not mine. Yeah.
I'll hit it.
Okay. Whoa, boy. So, what is she? Is that from squats? And oh my God.
No, that's jeans, but she also really works out. She's 19 in this picture, in this video, actually.
Really?
19, yeah.
Look at. So, that's Brazil.
Yeah, that's Brazil. Well, we're much more than butts and
what else?
Girls, but.
Well, listen, I've been to Brazil, right?
Yeah.
And no, the people are really nice there. So tell me, you grew up poor, right?
Well, yeah. For Brazil, I'm middle class. But if you do the exchange rate, I'm below poverty line in America.
Got it.
So
well, you were obviously very smart, though, intellectually growing up.
Yeah.
Did great in school.
So like, yeah. Basically, my dad is a 6'7", big black guy who was like very disciplined. He was in an Air Force in Brazil.
Okay.
So he's also saying like, in Brazil, if you're black, you have to be 2 times better at everything.
As opposed to what's, it's not white, it's a Hispanic. What's the difference
Yeah,
there?
So like the white Brazilians are like Portuguese, European. But like if you're like even like Mexican skin color, like brown, you're considered white.
Okay.
So blacks are like African with like the curly hair. So
Got
like.
It. And like, are they discriminated against?
Oh, yes. Hell, much more than the blacks in America. And the thing is, me growing up, I didn't see any role models, black role models. My role models were like Michael Jordan and Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why growing up, I was like, you know what? I want to go to America because growing up in Brazil, I had zero role models.
And there's no one to aspire to for a gut, really black.
No, because black people, there were no black actors. The soccer players, they didn't look like me. The only guy who kind of looked like me was a dancer, and I was dancing, like kind of like twerk dancing, Brazilian dancing, and my family was like, "Oh, that's gay, so don't do that."
All right, so when did you? So you did really well in high school. In other words, you were an honor student.
So yeah, so here's the deal. I was, I was like. Yeah, I want to go to America because, like, that's the place where people like me succeed, right? So I went. I got in a contest. I was third place in the whole country of Brazil. And,
what type of contest?
It was, like, a essay, English test, and also a test with, like, world knowledge. So you have to, like, know what's going on in the world, basically.
Current events.
Current events. 2004 was, like, Iraq War and, like, whatever. So... And I came to America as an exchange student. And it was the dream of, it still is the dream of every Brazilian teenager to come to America.
Mm-hmm.
To like have like, at my time, during your early years were like, you want to be like Gordon Gekko, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be in like the OC. Have you heard of the OC series,
yeah,
the episode?
Sure.
Yeah. I wanted to have that California
Misha Bart
lifestyle.
Was like in that.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to have that California lifestyle. Go to the beach, fuck blonde cheerleaders and stuff like that. Right?
Something I've excelled at in most of my adult life, I'm proud to say. Keep going.
So that was my American dream. And I came to America as an exchange student in San Diego, California. But there's a catch. I went to a ghetto school, inner city. So like my school was like Crips, Bloods, and the Mexican gangs. And I'm black.
Where was that?
San Diego High School. Downtown San Diego. Southeast San Diego. It's like... Bloods, Crips, and the Mexicans. The Bloods and Crips were black. The Mexicans, I spoke their languages. So I was like right in the middle of all the fights.
Right.
Because I was friends with the blacks. I'm black too.
Right.
And I was friends with the Mexicans. I played soccer with the Mexicans and I spoke Spanish to them. So like, it was pretty weird.
And so like, you were able to steer clear of gangs and stuff or?
Yeah, because I was kind of a nerd and I played sports. So like, I was telling you outside, the like first week of school, the teacher was like, dude, you're Brazilian. We want you in our football team. I was like, hell yeah. I was good at soccer. I was like, you know, like Americans, they're bad at soccer. Brazil is the best country in the world in soccer. Right. So, and he said football. I was like, all right, my football.
Yeah.
So I took my shin guards, my Brazil jersey to the stadium. When I got there, it was the wrong football. I was like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And they're like, no. Stay here, kick that ball. The first kick was a 40-yard field. It was like, hey, we have a kicker.
Right.
So like in a matter of 4 days, I had to learn the game.
Right.
And the coach gave me Madden 05 to play at home. I had no idea about the rules. I had no idea how football worked. So they gave me the video game, and like all I did was kick extra points and field goals.
Here's one question. So you were 15 when you came here?
Yeah, I was 15.
What'd you do for money?
Well, I was a scholarship kid. The host family paid for everything, for the food. My parents sent me $80 per month to
Fair
survive.
Enough. Yeah. Fair enough. So you graduate, you did very well in school, right?
There's a catch. So as an exchange student, you can only stay 1 year.
Okay.
Right? And then your J-1 visa expires. You have to go back to your country. You right. sign paperwork
right, sure.
saying that, like, after 1 year, right. you go back to your country and you don't come back.
Right.
I did well in football. I was, like, on the way to be a Val, have straight A's, AP classes. And I was like, you know what? I was getting calls from college coaches to be a kicker.
Right.
So I was like, if I go back to Brazil, I am not going to get any of those opportunities. I had to find a way to get back to America.
Right.
I tried doing the legal way, like trying to extend my visa with the school, but J-1 visa, it's only 1 year.
Right.
Oh, you can only get another J-1 visa if you go to a private school. I didn't have enough money to go to private school. So what do? I went back to Brazil, got my tourist visa, the B-1 visa, the 3-month-long B-1 visa. And then I flew to Miami. It was July. But why Miami? Why Miami? Why did I fly to Miami?
For visa purposes, mean?
No. So here's the deal. July is vacation month in Brazil.
Okay.
A lot of Brazilian 15-year-old, 16-year-old teenagers, they go to Disney World in July.
Okay.
So when I got to immigration, they said, what are you going to do in the States? I'm going to Disney World. I didn't go to Disney World. I went to California to go back, well, to, went back just, to my school.
Didn't you had a visa for to be a tourist, wasn't it, right?
To be a tourist, but like, well, I was like,
so
I'm
why would
going
they
back
would
to
let you in that way you went? Huh? You wouldn't have to, like, you know, you just said you can go anywhere as a tourist, right? You didn't have to go to Disney World.
Well, yeah, but like everyone in my plane were going to Disney World. It's like another, if I said, oh, I'm going back to school, but where is your J-1 visa? You can't go to school on a tourist visa.
Okay.
I would have gone.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So I went back to my school in San Diego, California, in order to get a football scholarship because I was doing well. I was practicing hard. The coaches were calling me and all of that. However, we were in an inner city school. So, like, the kids, the football team kids, they didn't have the grades. So a lot of them were ineligible to practice and play.
Right.
And, like, first, second string, third string running backs were out. And as a kicker, I was running scout team running back.
Right.
And I fell and I broke my arm's still broken 14 years later. And I missed the season. So, like, all those scholarship offers were just went away. And my solution was, all right, football ain't going to work anymore. Because, like, I don't have stats. My senior year football, nobody's calling me anymore. I need to find another way to, like, succeed in America. My parents didn't have money to pay for education. I don't qualify for FAFSA, like, financial aid, like, countrywide financial aid for low-income people. What do? There were 8 schools in America that offer scholarships to foreign students. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Pennsylvania, Brown. I just applied to every Ivy League school out there and start playing.
Got it.
And I got into the University of Pennsylvania, the Wharton School of Business.
Nice.
Yeah.
And?
Full scholarship.
So did you need a visa for that or you then get one?
So, yeah, my whole senior year I was illegal and I graduated as the valedictorian of San Diego High.
Was that nerve-wracking? Are you worried is it illegal or there's no, no risk?
Like,
get pulled
over
by the cops? What is that, you know?
Like,
couldn't
basically
imagine.
I had the highest grades of the school, but I could not be officially the valedictorian because of that. So they gave me a special award. But
so they knew you were illegal.
The principal did.
How
but
do
like
know?
I was good. I mean, I was good for the school because I was smart. I was getting to Ivy League school. So like they had to keep me, had to find a way to keep me there, you know? And I had like an advantage because, well, I lived in San Diego. Half of San Diego is illegal. and the other half lives in Tijuana and commutes.
Well, I remember this is checkpoint, right? By it's like past the military base, right?
Yeah, Oceanside, right there, Pendleton.
There used to be a sign. They took it down.
With the family and the kids. Yeah, right there.
My wife
told
me about that. I was like, I mean, she told me, she was, you got to say, I didn't know. She was the kid like being dragged across.
Right. So if the immigration came, they would take the Mexicans, but not me because I look black.
Right. So, interesting, right? So, okay, so you graduate, and so you did great in school, right? Which might, yeah. I give you a lot of credit for that, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think that when.
I didn't know English.
What?
I learned English at 15.
Well, listen, I think, you know, listen, in terms of immigration, right, you know, it's a major hot point right now in our country, right? And, you know, I personally think the liberals are out of their fucking minds, all right? Because, I mean, I just don't understand. I don't understand what the fuck they're even talking about. I believe, listen, my parents their grandparents did, but, like, I'm all for immigration, but, like, legal immigration. And I would never fault the guy, like, a kid that came in here and worked as hard as you did, okay? Although, obviously, we prefer someone to come legally, but I get that. Like, you know, it happens. But, I mean, the idea that wholesale, just like, hey, no more borders, I think that's insane. I mean, to me, it's nuts. And also, anyway, let's move forward. So you end up going to college. How did you go to, were you illegal in college or no?
So, I had to go back to Brazil for a visa interview for the F1 visa. That's like the four-year college
visa. Yeah. Right. And that's pretty easy to get, right?
The University of Pennsylvania didn't really know about my status, but they sent the Department of Homeland Security my application for F1 visa. When I got to the consulate, they basically asked me, like, where did you graduate?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I graduated from my Brazilian school.
So you have to
and
be
I'm
out
like,
of the country to get the visa, right?
Yeah,
that's
I
the
was
point.
Like,
yeah.
My ass was like this. I was like scared.
Sphincter tightening.
But like, and the counsel, he looked at me and he was like, wow, that's a pretty big scholarship you got here. Congratulations. He stamped my passport.
Right, exactly.
Like,
in other
yeah.
words, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you look at someone's grades like that, and what are you going to say to someone?
And I was
yeah.
16, 17 years old. So like, he was an angel, right? So like, I got that scholarship to Ivy League school, and I got to Wharton, and I was an outcast. Like, I didn't fit because, well, first of all, I come from a poor background in Brazil. I went to an inner city ghetto high school in San Diego, and I was going to school with like sons of politicians and Wall Street moguls, right? And kids from like Lawrenceville and like Exeter, those boarding schools.
What year was this?
07.
So were people prejudiced and against you because you're black?
Not because I was black. It was more because I was a scholarship kid, and like I didn't have the same, I didn't really fit in. Right. So like during the 4 years of school, I didn't get selected by any fraternities. I didn't get laid a lot in college. I had to go to Spain to get laid and stuff.
Really?
But like, yeah.
Good looking dude like you. Really?
Like, I didn't get laid. So it's like, so my whole life, I always had a chip on the shoulder. Like, plus being illegal, being black, being Latino, being a scholarship kid. That's something that like got me like very resilient, anti-fragile, like chip on the shoulder. Always a chip in, like, my in Brazil, like, well, I have a very poor name. My name is weird, Ryan Hayan. It's like nobody has that name.
You know what you look like?
Who I look? Kanye West.
Bingo. Just fucking like him.
Everyone thinks I look like Kanye West.
You look
West.
Like Kanye West.
If Kanye's, I want to meet Kanye West. Introduce me to Kanye West.
All right, so, listen, he did the soundtrack for my movie. So last week, I had him Ed Mylett on my show. You know Ed Mylett? He's a spitting image of Drax the Destroyer from Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay,
I didn't see that.
You don't watch Marvel movies, all right. So every let's put a picture of him up. Let's check it out for Kanye. Let's see if we can see. Let's see how close, because Drax. Oh my God! Look at this, dude. And where's your picture? No, that's home. And now put his picture up. Let's get his picture up. Let's get to a side by side comparison. Okay. Oh my goodness. Let's do it.
I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas.
Let me tell you this.
I couldn't say the N word.
You could say it. He's.
I couldn't.
He's brilliant. This guy. I think he's. Look at that.
He's extremely smart.
I'm saying he's
think
really
he's a
smart.
Very
he's
smart
a,
dude.
He's a very smart.
And he's
guy.
A billionaire because of these.
No.
He became a billionaire because of these. Look at these.
What?
You have these? These are like the Lamborghinis of shoes. Yeezys. And they're not paying me for this.
Yeah.
For this marketing plot, like Yeezys.
Let's get a real. Let's get a side by side here. You look a lot like him. You really do. Make it bigger? Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's definitely.
I told her to. Yeah.
All right. Wow. The last guy, show him the Draxler, show Ed Mylett from last week. Show him Ed Mylett. This is last week, just the last podcast.
Ed Mylett.
Check him this out. No, we have a, it's on my Instagram, by the way. Show the Instagram post that Bowen made on my Instagram. We have a difference of Draxler Destroyer versus, hold on.
Yeah, put up a picture of me and
no, Kanye West. No, I'm telling you. Where is it? Jack?
Right.
Where's the one? Bowen did a yes or no. Who do you think? Where's the?
No, it's a drag. It's to the right.
Where is it?
There's more than one picture there.
Where's the one which shows the yes or no?
Right there. There's more than one picture. So you got to scroll to the right, maybe. There it is.
There you are.
Yeah, they look very much alike.
All right. Anyway, so, dude, you're spitting image of Kanye. All right. You didn't get laid that much in college, you say?
Not really. Not at all.
Okay. And so then now you're in the right place in Russia, right? Okay. So, anyway, you graduate college, right? Did you graduate or no?
Yeah.
You did 4 years.
Yeah. Played football, Ivy League football.
So you played football and you weren't getting laid?
Think about it. In Ivy League school, if you play football, you're dumb.
Yeah, but still,
because you got in because of sports, you didn't get in because of your own merits. And there's another thing. I was in a football team. However, the Ivy League has something called sprint football, lightweight football. There's like a different sport that plays NCAA, and you have to be 172 pounds or less. So it means that like the offensive tackle is 172 pounds. So I got in an argument with the coach of the NCAA team.
Yeah.
And I went down to the lightweight team. Okay. So, like, another chip on the shoulder. I wasn't a full-on football player. I was a sprint football player.
All right.
So, like, yeah.
But you went through 4 years, graduate.
Three degrees. And if I was the first black, like, Brazil has, like, more than 70 million black Brazilians, African Brazilians from slavery, like, blacks. I was the first one in history to graduate from an Ivy League school.
So were your ancestors black? How many generations?
Like from Angola.
Slaves?
Yeah, slaves. Brazil, it was the country with the most slaves.
How long ago was your family tree in slavery?
My what?
How long ago were they in slavery? When was the last?
1888 was when slavery was abolished in Brazil. 1888. My grandpa was born 1917, so he was one generation away from slavery. And that's why like my family's poor. They're from like the slums and stuff like that.
And do you have any of the same things like right now, people talk about reparations here and affirmative action? Do you have any of that stuff going on in Brazil?
So here's the thing. Brazil did not have a civil rights movement. So like basically the darker you were, the poorer you were. But it's not really racism.
There's no Martin Luther King?
No. And also like in America, you had a black president, you had black billionaires, you have black businessmen, lawyers, doctors. In Brazil, the successful blacks are either athletes or musicians, or me. That's why I have so many followers.
That's really interesting. So there were no black entrepreneurs?
No. That's why I was like, my role models were in America. That's why I got here.
Well, none is very few or none? None, like zero, none, there's none? Blacks don't start businesses?
Well, there's a guy called Geraldo Rufino, but he's worth maybe $5 million. That's like my main, he was my main role model.
Why? I don't understand. I'm confused here. It takes a lot to confuse me, and I am a bit baffled here. Why would black people not be trying to strive to kind of lift themselves up and do, you know, through entrepreneurship? Is it not allowed? Is there something going on that doesn't allow it to happen?
It's more of a mentality. Like in Brazil, you're successful if you get a government job.
Okay.
Not when you like, because the country's laws are not very friendly for entrepreneurs.
Okay.
It protects more of the worker side than the business side. It's more like on the European, like social democratic model.
I understand, yeah.
Right. And not in America. Like right now, our new president is changing labor laws and like tax laws.
Mm-hmm.
But like for decades and maybe centuries, it wasn't cool to be an entrepreneur.
Well, what you're saying is I've traveled the world and it's very unique. I said this, in fact, in my last podcast with Ed Milet. I said that one of the things that concerns me is that we have this special thing here in the U.S. where it's the entrepreneur is a coveted thing. It's really respected. In many places in the world, it's not. It's frowned upon. And also, like, there's, you know, places where, in like Australia, the tall poppy syndrome, where, you know, so if you get too big, they want to cut you down. So is it
in Europe is just like that too? If you get too big, they want to cut you down.
So in Brazil right now, what's happening is, so do the whites live better than the blacks?
Hell yeah. Much like the difference between the whites and the blacks is much wider in Brazil than in America. You see the slums?
Yeah.
Full black.
So why don't you do something to change that? Or you don't give a shit?
That's exactly what I'm doing. I write books. I interview successful people on my podcast. My mission is changing that. Yeah.
So that would seem like to be a really noble thing to do, okay? Because I think that that's fucked up.
That is fucked up. I agree with
someone,
you.
And I'd be willing to help, by the way. Anyway, like, I'm going.
There we go. There we
no,
go.
I would. I'd gladly do as much. I'm going to Brazil in 2 weeks from now. Just, you know, I told you, right? 3 weeks from now, doing an event there. I'd be happy to do any charity work there. I think that's fucked up, and that should be changed. So what do you do? What's the strategy to really lift people up there? Because that's just not right. It needs to stop. I think it should stop. Not my country. I think it should stop. And I think you're the perfect guy because you're a brilliant guy, obviously.
Thanks, bro.
No, sir, you're a smart guy.
Thanks.
You're banging Russian models. I can't fault you for that.
Not just Russian. Ukrainians, Moldavians.
Even better still.
Lithuanians, okay. Estonians.
They're all fucking Russians to me.
I'm at 30. My number's at 30.
Really?
Country. My stamps,
really?
30. Yeah.
That was pretty good for me for like a weekend back in the day. Anyway, but the point is, listen. You are blessed and privileged.
Thanks.
You are, right? You were born with advantages. Ready? You were born with them. God made you much smarter than the average individual. You just are. So am I. I am. I know what my advantages are.
Yeah.
I know what my disadvantages are. All right? But one of my advantages, I'm very intelligent. I'm a great salesperson. You are obviously incredibly intelligent. You're great. You're very charismatic, all right? You have the ability to lead people, to inspire people, right? Not just by banging Russian models, but that's a good thing. But I am all for that. But here's the thing. And I guess you bang civilians too. You don't just bang models, right? As long as they're hot. They don't have to be models. But you kind of, at your age, you probably like the modeling card just because it makes you feel better about yourself, right? I get it. I've been there. Okay, but the point is, no, I understand that. I don't frown. You'll grow up one day and not care. I know you because I've been you, okay? But here's the thing. There's how many oppressed black people are there in Brazil?
A shit ton.
How many?
70 million.
70 million, right? If I swear to God, I think that you could make a massive impact on that.
Yeah. So like my life is geared towards that. Like it's probably like my mission in the world. So I'm an author. I have 7 books out.
What's your best book?
My best book is called Hackeando Tudo. In English, Total Hack. It's not out in America yet, but like from the time this interview goes to the air, the book is going to be out in English.
Okay.
It's a mission. So here's the deal. I wrote that book. It's like a self-help book for young people, for millennials, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I write, first of all, I write the book the way I talk.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I put swear words in it, right? And so why did I do that? Because for those people, they're not used to reading books. So I need to get something closer to their reality.
Mm.
And for like, I sold like hundreds of thousands of copies of that book. And most of the feedback is like, it was the first book I've ever finished.
Mm.
So people read it fast. It's small. It's really fast. It's like, basically, I studied all the successful people in America and Brazil, and like they all have habits, daily habits.
Right.
So I compile all their habits and put in a habits book.
Don't tell me there's only 7 of them, though.
90.
That was written already, that book.
Yeah, there were 90. 90
7 habits.
We call it Hackeando Tudo, like life hacks. So basically,
okay.
Yeah, so there are 90 habits. Actually, it's 92 because I do under-promise and over-deliver.
Mm-hmm.
When a person gets to the 90, there's like 2 more. So like it's part of like neuro-linguistic programming.
I understand. Let's go back. Okay, 90 is a lot of habits, right?
Yeah.
Give me the top 3 things. So let's say you decide, I'm going to draw a line in the fucking sand, right?
Right.
I'm going to make sure that, but you know, before I'm gone from this earth, I am going to make my mark and lift up these people here. What's the first thing a young black kid in Brazil should do? Like from where you are, give me a day in the life of the average 17-year-old oppressed black person in Brazil.
day in the life of average 17-year-old oppressed black person.
Yeah, like what's their reality? What's their current reality? What are they doing? What's up? What are they up against? They up against either they, right, either they join a gang or they get shot. What's the real reality?
Exactly. They wake up in a slum. They have bread and butter for breakfast and a cup of coffee, and they open their door and see their friends with AK-47s in hand.
Yep.
And they're like, well, he has money, mm-hmm. and that's probably the only way I can have money if mm-hmm. I join the drug cartels. Mm-hmm. And after that, he goes down the stairs of the shantytown, the slum, to go to school. Mm-hmm. And when they get to a public school, the teacher doesn't show up.
Right.
And after that, after school, he probably has to work for maybe $200 a month, working 8 hours a day, Monday through Saturday, and do their homework at night. So, like, basically, minimum wage, which is, like, most people in Brazil make less than $250 a month. So that's the reality.
Was that your reality?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't my reality, but it was the reality of, like, my uncles.
Why wasn't it your reality growing up?
Well, so here's the deal. There was something called military regime in the 1970s in Brazil, right?
Because your dad was in the Air Force, didn't
it? Right. So, like... Like, people call it dictatorship, but it was, like, a way America did to protect the American continent away from communism, right? Mm-hmm. So, United States, they intervened in a lot of countries sure. in South America to avoid the communist threat. Only right. Cuba and Nicaragua won. Brazil right. was on the U.S. side.
Yep.
The liberals, the left, they say, oh, it was dictatorship, it was oppression. But, like, it was the time where Brazil was, like, the most prosperous and, like, basically there was no violence then because the militaries took over. Sure. My dad.
It's a little of the Chinese model almost.
Yeah. My dad.
Authoritarian capitalism.
Authoritarian capitalism, exactly. My dad, a slum black kid, he was, like, number 8 in, like, a countrywide contest. And he went to, like, the academy. Like, you know, the academy. Military academy.
Number 8 for what? Intellectual?
No, like you take a test. He was number 8 in the whole country in high school.
Yeah.
So math, Portuguese, geography,
as I said, God given.
History.
As I said, you come from that same lineage. You're far above average intelligence, basically.
Yeah,
you are.
Yeah. So like my dad,
you can say
joined the Air
are.
Force. My dad joined the Air Force in the 70s as like a teenager, and then he went to like Colorado Springs Air Force Academy. Sure. And then he became a pilot. And like right before I was born, he became a commercial pilot.
Okay.
So like as a commercial pilot, as I told you, like they did like they were like middle class, high middle class to Brazil.
Sure.
But that's like 20,000
I understand
a
but,
year.
But so America. You were very fortunate because you know, intellect runs in your family and your dad worked very hard and he provided you with a far better situation than the average right. oppressed black kid, right?
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you took that and used that to parlay yourself to get out of the country and become who you are today.
So my mission is I need to lift not just the black Brazilian, but like the whole Brazilian youth out of mediocrity. So I want to raise their ambition and like, mindset. It's install the American mindset, the Wolf of Wall Street mindset in the Brazilian teenager.
Let me ask you a question. So, are they oppressed? How much of it is it self oppression through belief systems, or are they actually being oppressed and held back? And also, remember, it's a vestige of slavery, right? So there's certain beliefs that come from slavery, right? They weren't property owners, right? As many reasons why, right?
But what do you mindset? Like the victim mindset. The Brazilians have the victim mindset. Oh, poor me. So like that's one thing I learned in the US. Arrogance is good, right? I call it positive arrogance because like I'm the fucking man.
Self-belief.
If I say that in Brazil, people are gonna shoot me.
Right.
No?
Yeah.
But like and I learned from the blacks, like and like me looking at those role models, all the American blacks, they were like arrogant as fuck. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Barack Obama. He was like, yeah.
Arrogance, not quite. It's been
self-confidence.
Cocky, confidence slash cocky.
That's why I call it positive arrogance.
Yeah, confident more than cocky, sometimes cocky, right?
Right.
And it depends on which person you're talking about. But I guess my question is, so is there like, I guess when it comes to like lifting people up, you got to be realistic, right? Is there, so there's different segments. There's the people who are living in these slums, right? Where you said AK-47.
Right.
Right. Can a kid with no means, can he dig his way out? Or is he stuck? Can he dig himself out?
Yes. And that's where my work comes
in. Tell me how.
I teach people how to make money online.
What's step one?
Reading. So like, let's go back to the habits. Remember the 90 habits? The most important habit is the gratitude diary, which I stole from Oprah. Mm-hmm. Every day, Oprah wakes up and she writes 5 things she's grateful for in her notebook, right? So, like, no matter how bad your life is, there's always something to be grateful for. So, like, out of the 90 habits, out of 90 hacks on my book, the number one is gratitude.
Okay.
Right? How can they get out of that? Number two, for me, one of the most important is reading books, audiobooks. All right, I'm like kind of ADHD, so like I never really got I can't read a book like that till this day, and I read more than 1,000 books in my life.
Okay,
what's my exit? Audiobooks. I read The Wolf of Wall Street in 2008 as an audiobook.
Got it.
Right, and that's much better for me because it's sometimes the author's voice.
Right,
and when it's not an author's voice, it's an actor who does it very well.
Yeah.
So, like, basically, nowadays, I walk 10 kilometers per day. That's, like, 6 miles, 7 miles.
Yeah.
Listening to audiobooks. And I shifted to podcasts. So, like, and the third thing for these kids is, like, learning English. So, that's why
explain to me how that... Okay, so I get that. So, what's the... That's the sort of educational get strong aspect. Those, but how do you... What's the first step in terms of to get out? I understand you got to educate yourself, get stronger, but how do they get out of that? Do they start a business? Do they move away? What do they do?
In my opinion is like... And that's where I made all my money. I teach people how to make money online.
Online.
Yeah.
So let's now we'll get into it. So in other words, is it fair to say that because of the ability to leverage where you are doesn't matter. Your location doesn't matter. So theoretically, a kid who is in the projects, in the worst part of Brazil, he could have a website and some sort of Shopify.
There we go. There we go. Okay. Exactly. Learn how to buy traffic.
Information marketing.
Exactly.
Facebook advertising.
SEO, AdSense. Like, I teach people how to make money online with nothing. For example.
Got it.
And so, like... After I was in Wall Street, I did some day trading. I lost all my money because of Russia. Day trading, options.
Right.
Like, I bet that there was going to be a war between Russia and Ukraine. So I bought futures of natural gas, thinking, like, Putin was going to turn off the natural gas pipelines to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And
fracking must have kind of fucked you up, right?
Right, right. So, like, the prices of natural gases didn't go up, and I lost all my money.
Right.
And how did I was like broke at 25 years old with an Ivy League degree. I was broke and I couldn't find jobs.
Like most people with an Ivy League degree are broke.
I had 3 Ivy League degrees. I was broke. So I was like, you know what? I need to get out of here. So I got $5. I got a cover on Fiverr for my book. Like a package. I got Fiverr. Have you know Fiverr?
Mm-mm.
It's basically a marketplace where you can get anything for $5 online.
Okay.
So I got somebody in Pakistan to do a cover for my book for $5.
Okay.
I wrote my book, this Total Hacks, Hackeando Tudo, in like 3 nights. And I got out of poverty. I was like zeroed out. I was broke. And with $5, I became a best-selling author in Brazil. And I started like, and from a book, I went to online courses from like mentorships and masterminds. I have more than 120 sources of income nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Money comes from like everywhere. Like, let's see.
Like where?
I'll show you. Like, so divide this by 4. That's how much money I made in the past 7 days.
101,000 reals, $25,000.
Yeah, and
not reals. That's divide by 4.
Yeah, so that's $25,000.
$6,200 this week.
Yeah.
All right, that's $300,000.
So like today, today, that's how much money I made today. Look at that. That's today.
My eyes aren't that good.
That's today, and it's.
Hold on. That's 97,000. Okay.
Reais.
Okay.
Today.
$23,000. $22,000. Okay.
So like.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one
From
source
what?
Of income.
From what?
This is an online course where I teach people how to be digital nomads.
Okay.
Basically. location, travel the world, location independence. Location independent. You don't need to travel the world to be a digital. Like you say fuck you to your boss and you start making money online. And I showed him like 120 different ways for you to make money. Choose one and quit your job and like have a life like me. So my Instagram is for like that. Like, okay,
so,
all right.
So what do you? So what would you say if there's 120? What's the best way of 120 to make money online?
Right now, the out of the 120, like these online courses are the most profitable ones because I work once.
Sell online courses.
Right, one of yeah. Right now, the most profitable way for me is online course. But like, they can do drop shipping out of China.
An
they
online can write course to do what? An online course to do what? To show people how to do.
Well, what, I have one about networking. I teach people how to do networking, how to like connect to people, how to find anybody's email in the world, how to like talk to billionaires, like power distance, charisma, like stuff like this. One, I have one how to like, it's called Millionaire with Instagram. I teach people how to make money with Instagram accounts.
Okay.
My third course, my best one, my best seller is called Digital Nomad. Basically, I teach people how to like, all right, you want to rent an apartment in like Moscow. Here's how you rent an apartment anywhere in the world. Here's how you make your money. Here's how you make friends in this city. And like I prove
that you bang Russian models.
That's another product. That's another product.
That's probably your best best selling.
That's a fourth course. It's basically I teach people how to. I shouldn't even be talking
no,
about
you should
it.
Tell, this is important stuff. Now tell us that.
I teach people how to get laid in every country. So like there's a chapter about
this is
Iceland,
an important course.
Poland, Hungary, France, Spain. So like that's another product. Why did I make this product? Because I have 800,000 followers. I answer every fucking
it's so
person.
Funny,
I answer
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah. I was gonna lose how to get ludes in every country is my course, right? So how to get banged. So how do you get banged? What's the difference in getting banged and getting laid in Hungary versus Poland?
So basically, the way you talk to the woman, like the, for example, in Poland, just being black, you're gonna get laid. You don't have to try that much harder.
Really? Right? Oh, it's easy. Your dick is like 12 inches long.
Yeah. And it's not.
It's yours?
It's not.
It's not. Oh, you're.
And that, yeah, it's
I'm
like.
I'm sorry.
It's a big insecurity because I go out there with these blonde women.
And they expect.
They expect like. Fucking Lexington Steel and shit.
And what happened? Like, no, they're like, they disappointed?
But like, I do pretty good on oral sex and they
so you perfected the art?
Yeah, I perfected the art of oral sex and they're fine with it, yeah.
Oh, you're a man to my own heart. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We're a
but
lot
basically,
more alike
when we go to the Polish school, it's like, jesteś piękna. And that's it. But like, there's like...
What's that mean? I want to eat your...
No, jesteś piękna is like, you're just very beautiful.
Okay, got it.
But
okay.
Like, basically, it's not like how to approach, but like... Where to go in Warsaw?
Right, so you remember like, Scarface, right? He said you pick up.
Yeah.
How about how do you pick up girls in Amsterdam?
For Dutch women, you have to go to Barcelona or Lloret de Mar.
Really?
Yeah, between June and August. Eric knows it. Eric.
Well, because I was just there. See, I was a
Dutch women.
See, Dutch women are fucking tough, man. Here's where the Dutch women. If you try to be nice to a Dutch woman and open up a door for her, or she will go, she'll see, what the fuck? I can open my own door. Excuse me.
So, like,
they're very emancipated. Dutch women are emancipated, and Dutch women will ask you to come. If she likes you, a Dutch woman will ask you to come up with her.
That's Dutch, Denmark, Iceland, Sweden.
So I've been
Norway.
To Iceland too as well. They're very aggressive there as well.
And that has to do with social democratics, basically. There's a survey where the girls are best in bed in the world.
Okay, forget that. I don't care about that. I care about who's the hottest. Let's go the hottest women. Okay.
Country?
Well, let's go. I want to know serious. Ready?
Moldova. Number one, Moldova.
Moldova.
Number two, Israel.
Is true. Number three?
Number three, Russia tied with Ukraine. Number four, Lithuania.
Number five?
Kyrgyzstan.
Kyrgyzstan.
Have you heard of Kyrgyzstan?
I have. I've never been there. It's like I've been to a lot of those stands.
Yeah. So Kyrgyzstan, I mean, I like exotic women.
Yeah.
I would say Iran too. Iran. Iran has a lot of beautiful women. And
really?
Iran is a huge party place and nobody knows
about it.
Well,
no, it used to be. So Iran used to.
It's
I, so I had,
in well, the underworld.
I had this conversation with a guy, Patrick Bet David, was there a few weeks ago when I said, because he's Iranian. I said, dude, I remember I was too young, but I heard that it was like crazy.
In
Iran,
the 70s. Yeah,
in
before,
the 70s
the,
before
the
shot, right?
The
shot that got thrown out. Yeah, it was crazy.
It still is. You should read the book City of Lies.
Yeah.
And it's about, and like, I have a lot of friends in Tehran. The underworld of Tehran is like crazy.
Okay, keep
shit.
Going, keep going.
So basically,
where would you rate, okay,
Kyrgyzstan? Rate. But Kyrgyzstan is nice because, well, they have Turkish skin. The Kyrgyzstan language is like Turkish language.
Okay.
They had a lot of influence from the Turks.
Okay.
During the empire. They have Turkish skin. They look Chinese face, and they have the mentality and the body of a Russian woman.
Who's got the ugliest woman? What can we give me the top?
Chile, Bolivia. Help me out, Eric. Ugliest women. Chile, Bolivia for sure.
Chile's a little tough. They're all small, short boxes.
Yeah,
them,
yeah. Man. Peru.
Peru's tough too.
In Europe.
How about in Europe?
USA, I don't like, USA is not that good.
Really?
You live in California, you live in New York, but like,
I've always found gorgeous women here, but I guess
their bodies are not that, I mean, I'm not a big fan of USA, but like Chile and
it's
Bolivia.
Tough. It's tough. It's unfortunate. How about mainland China?
China's mainland China is like, but like Korea is nice.
Vietnam
is all right.
Vietnam's got pretty
Philippines
good.
Is the best.
Well, you know why? You know what it really is, though? Mostly it's about is how were they mixing with other cultures. See, Vietnam was mixing with
French.
That's
and
why.
And Indonesia was mixing with Dutch. That's true.
That's
true.
Really what
that's
it's true. About, you know?
Yeah, I would say China's the worst with Bolivia
China's
and Chile.
Very
yeah.
tough. It's very unfortunate, right? Yeah. All right, how about which country? Are you really a connoisseur of this shit? I think you are. You ready to
I have 30
it, right?
stamps. I have 30 stamps. All right. But like this online course not out yet. I'm like, this is a spoiler. Yeah. But like, what gives me money right now is like digital nomad. I teach people how to make money without a boss from anywhere in the world and have a lifestyle like mine. And that's why my Instagram is like, oh, me in California, me in Russia, me in Spain.
Which women are the best? Do you have any problems like bad grooming in certain countries, like where they just don't take care of themselves?
As far as shaving?
Oh, shaving smells and stuff like that. I mean, you seem to know your way around. I think it's important for the audience here, you know?
I've never had any bad experiences like that.
No, okay, fair enough. And most sexually promiscuous?
Lithuania.
Really?
Yeah. But like the Nordic countries are good because like, for example, like, the Nordic women, as you said,
you're like a circus
Dutch.
Attraction to them. Huh? You're so far, you're so outside the norm, aren't you there? Or no, well, there is a lot of black guys there.
Especially in Sweden, there are a lot of black guys because there are a lot of refugees from East Africa. Okay. And Sweden was a country that accepted them all, basically. There are a lot of blacks in Sweden. However, those countries, it's like the perfect welfare state, right? So in those countries, the government substitutes the role of a man. So, like, there are surveys and statistics that, like, the Nordic countries have, like, more cheating, more sex before marriage, right? And promiscuous women because, well, for example, my mother, Brazilian mother, right? She would never think of cheating on my dad because if she cheats on my dad leaves her, she's fucked.
Right.
Right, because
there's no state to take care.
There's no
state no to backdrop, take care. No safety.
If the Swedish woman cheats on her husband, the government's right there, and she has a divorce, the government pays her money, so she doesn't give a fuck. Plus, the health system is very good, and like,
so they catch them, they can get it fixed.
Yeah, yeah, and they're like only a couple. There's like a couple countries that I could go protect without protection free.
You said you were depressed twice, right? You were trying to commit suicide twice.
Yeah.
The first time you almost jumped off a building. What was the other time?
Same. Buildings. It was the same building, yeah. I was like almost doing it. It's like also like expectations. I was depressed. I'm an upbeat guy and all of that. But like it came to a point in my life that like, well, I was a best-selling author, but the book market of Brazil is very small because people don't read, right? And I was looking at the neighbor's green grass. I went to an Ivy League school and all my Ivy League friends, they were making good money, at least your $200,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And I was living in Brazil, like trying to get by, like paycheck to paycheck. I was like trying to like get my entrepreneurial, my internet business going, but like my book sales weren't up. So like I kept looking at Instagram, like these kids who were my age and who went to Ivy League school with me, they're doing much better. And I was like, I'm a failure. Plus family. Like, my parents expected, like, when I left Wall Street at 23, they expected me to have, like, a career, a banking career, to have a boss, to, like, grow, like, the American dream, right? So, like, I kind of felt from my family that, like, they were very disappointed in me, right? And they were pushing me to do those government jobs. Oh, you gotta do a test, get a government job, getting paid $2,000-$3,000 a month. And like, I was like, no.
So you were depressed because you didn't like the way your life was going, basically, as opposed to being depressed. Some people like chemically depressed.
No, but I have a bipolar disorder.
Okay, so you have bipolar as well.
But I don't. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. However, I don't believe I have bipolar disorder.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So, like, I was taking meds.
ADHD.
I was taking meds.
What were you taking?
And, shit.
What?
Lithium? Lithium was one of them.
Okay. Lamictal.
Bupropiona.
Bupropion?
Bupropiona. Yeah, okay. Of course.
That's a narcotic almost. Isn't it?
However, you know all about drugs, huh?
I know everything about drugs. That's to avoid getting like some of them narcotics.
So the movie was right.
That's a partial opiate agonist is what that is. Buprenorphine, long acting, you know, Suboxone, right? Why were you taking that?
So the psychiatrist gave it to me and I was like, I wasn't getting better.
Where? In the US or
in Brazil? I wasn't getting better. Like lithium and like buprenorphine, I wasn't getting better. I was getting fat.
Boost bar?
I have no idea what the fuck the drugs are, but like I was taking bipolar disorder drugs.
Okay.
When I was very, very depressed.
But I think didn't get better. Yeah, it's a lot of bullshit and stuff.
Didn't get better. And I was like, you know what? I wanna cut this off. And when I cut this off, I went on this like sex binge. I fucked a lot of women, right? And it actually helped me.
As it should, right? I think it's a great thing. What's wrong that you makes you feel happy, right? You release the endorphins, right?
So like, you know what? I was like, my mindset was, all right, I'm already going to commit suicide. So I'll take this money. I had like, let's say I had like what, $60,000 or $70,000 to my name, maybe 50. I was like, I get this. I'm going to go out every night. And I went out every night.
Go out with a bang, so to speak.
I was getting laid like once every two,
and you were going to commit suicide when the money was gone.
So that was the plan.
Okay.
But the depression was going away. Right? And then I decided to go to Europe. And then I put a goal to myself. All right, I am going to visit every country in Europe there is. So I was missing like 35 countries to like conquer Europe.
Right.
So in one summer, I did from Iceland all the way to Albania, all the way to Russia, and boom, I finished my mission. And in the meantime, it was during the World Cup last year in Russia. And all of a sudden, I got famous on Instagram. All of a sudden.
And what was it? One, was it something you did?
I did a publicity stunt.
Which was?
In Russia.
Which was?
I exchanged a jersey with a Russian guy. And I put a subtitle, basically, end of the World Cup. Time to exchange my fake Brazil jersey that I bought for $10 in the market in Rio for an official Adidas Russia. Look at this asshole's face. The guy was very happy. And I exchanged my Brazil shirt with his Russian shirt.
So people in Brazil love that.
People in Brazil, they're like, you are a bad example of Brazilian. That's why our country's fucked up. However, my shirt was Rio, was official. But that picture went viral. Can you put my first name and the word camisa? It's camisa is shirt in Spanish. And Russia. Camisa with the C, camisa, MISA. There we go. The first one, like the first, Carioca na Rússia. I got 60,000 followers in one day because of that one picture, and that's the picture I went viral because of that, and it was a publicity stunt, right? Because of that one picture, the haters of Brazil, they're like, this guy is a shame to our country, and like the big influencers, they were like shitting on me, and like. 4 days later, I said, guys, this is a real shirt. This is the receipt. And you guys fell for it. You're horrible people, not me. So, and then, and what do I do nowadays? I get in publicity stunt like that.
Uh-huh.
I get a lot of haters to my profile. And I turn those haters into clients.
Right. Yeah, the haters are great, but so who's that guy? Just some random dude?
Random dude in Russia. So, like, at the end, it's a tradition. At the end of the World Cup,
uh-huh.
You exchange shirts from your country with other people from other countries. It's like a tradition. Got even it. The Olympics, they exchange bottoms, they exchange pins and shit like that. I exchanged my shirt. And I made sure I put the shirt right here because to show off my abs. And the girl, to get more girls, you know. So I had 20,000 followers before that. I got 80. And then I started my Instagram business. Right now, I love haters because
they create engagement.
Exactly.
I understand all about haters.
Yeah. They transform the comments on my Instagram into a chat room.
Right.
And they engage. And right. they engage. I'm like, keep coming.
I know. They're great.
Keep coming.
I love the haters. Exactly. I thank them. I love my haters. They're
The people who are like my fanboys, mm-hmm. they don't give me money. The haters, the people who start as haters, and they see that I'm intellectual, I'm Ivy League, and they can actually learn from me, they become clients much faster than the fanboys. And that's why I do everything to get haters. Last week, somebody was like, dude, you shouldn't post that right here. A guy was like, you shouldn't post that. That was too strong. I was like, dude, you shouldn't worry about my life. I make $500,000 a month and you're broke. Worry about your own life. And I put that picture and people were like, oh, you're such an asshole. You're such an asshole. And I was getting followers. Engagement. Because like the algorithm on Instagram, they have no idea what you're posting. They want engagement. So they say, oh, this post is relevant. I'm going to show it to more people. So I'm always playing against Instagram like that because like most of my costs, I have like what? 6 employees. Most of my costs are like marketing budget for Instagram and Facebook. So if I do publicity stunts like that, I minimize my costs and my LTV. It's CAC, CAC, and LTV.
Boom. All right, so I'll tell you what. Next time I'm in Brazil, we should do some stuff. Charity work together, buddy. I want to see where you are in a couple of years. You're awesome.
Let's keep in touch.
You have a lot of good stuff to offer your people.
Thanks, brother. So, thanks for having me here. I came all the way from Russia to your show. You're the man. Sell me this pen.
Hopefully you're going to get...
Sell me this pen.
But buddy, I'll tell you what. I will sell you this pen when I come on your podcast.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Let's get on my podcast to Brazil.
I hope you're going to get laid while you're here.
I got laid on Saturday. So let's hope I get laid tonight.
Are you going to try to go out tonight?
Let's go out tonight. Oh, you're married.
I'm married. Yeah. What are you going to do? Remember, my son will probably go out, yeah? Bowen.
Where is that?
He's here. He works for me. Where are you going to go to get laid tonight? What's your strategy?
Eric, what's the name of the club? Poppy in Hollywood. Yeah. And he knows a lot of celebrities. He's a celebrity too in Brazil.
All right, so listen, guys, you heard it. This is we're gonna find out. I'd like you to report back tomorrow.
I get late?
Yeah,
I
want to see a picture of panties. I want to make sure this is the challenge for today. All right, I want to see what happened. Everyone wants to see, dude. All right, we'll see if you get it done. And I want proof. All right, you gotta be waiting in the closet or something and just pop out at the last second. All right, without getting arrested. All right. All right, guys, love you all.
I love you.
Take care. Wolf Stan signing off. Take care.